You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
On the show this morning is Dato' Kenneth Heng, the Managing Director of GUH Holdings. It's a diversified group. Core business is in making printed circuit boards in Penang and Suzhou for electrical appliances. Last year was a relatively rough period for them. Revenue was down from 311 million ringgit in 2011 to 280 million ringgit in 2012. We find out if a rebound is imminent this year and if GUH is a small cap stock investors should be looking at in the long term. And welcome back, Dato'. The printed circuit boards business saw a double-digit drop in revenue and earnings last year. Why did the division underperform?
First, I think thank you very much for the invitation to BFM. I think if you look at the global scenario, especially the Eurozone crisis and the U.S. Economy itself, I think that has actually slowed down substantially. So that has actually have impacted our division, especially the electronic itself. And I think even lately you have, I don't know whether you have seen some announcement itself by some of the Japanese multinational like Sony, Sharp. I think they also reported substantial losses. But for us itself, of course, we managed to, although it's a substantial drop, but I think we managed to pull through and make quite a big positive number. I mean, according to our perspective itself, how we look at it. And of course, the other major issue is actually the China-Japan dispute on the island. That also has an impact because that was a substantial boycott by some of the Chinese itself on Japanese product, because that was also the focus itself that we had, especially the Japanese multinational in China. And with that general perspective in terms of economy, I think, of course, you know, here comes the competition. I think people will be competing for pricing, and I think prices has to be lowered and to fight against the competitors.
Could you please elaborate, how did the China-Japan dispute over the islands, how did that affect your business?
We do have an operation itself in China, which is in Suzhou. And what the Chinese would actually do is that they boycott most of the product itself that is produced by the Japanese. So like Japanese cars, Japanese audio, video product itself. So once they boycott itself, we see that the Japanese multinational, which required the printed circuit board, they also cut down on the demand. So that is actually the impact itself.
So this business has been quite cyclical for you, quite volatile. I'm just looking at, for example, at 2008 to 2009, revenues had dropped, and then now you're experiencing another drop again, 2011 to 2012. So, you know, given this situation, how are you going to move within this PCB business? Are you going to start looking at producing different kind of products, PCBs for different kind of products?
If you look at back in 2008, I think 2009, that was actually the time itself we have the subprime issue. So at that time itself in Malaysia, we're actually focusing on products which are quite mundane, where we focus on audio videos, and in China, we also focus on audio video. During the time itself, we start making some changes on the focus in terms of customers. We switch customers from more local base to multinationals like Japanese, Koreans. So if you look at the revenue itself during that time, it actually went up instead of going down. Back in 2009, 2010, it went up. Then, of course, 2011, 12, it went down. And if you look at the scenario itself, because in Malaysia, our focus was more on audio-video. Audio-video and LCD, LCD, especially the display and all those, they went down substantially. So that has a major impact, especially the Malaysian operation. And whereas in China, the impact is not really there because our focus was more on home appliances.
The washing machines.
Washing machine, aircon, and the demand is actually there. So if you look at the numbers itself and you start tearing down and look at the two companies, which one, one in Malaysia, one in China. The one which is actually affected is the one in Malaysia. The China operation, they have been doing quite well.
And why is it the Malaysian operations have been most affected? I mean, I would imagine we are quite a resilient markets. That's what economists say, right? Domestic spending is still quite robust.
Yeah, but most of the audio-video products are actually exported out. So if you look at the audio-video sector itself, it has actually gone down substantially.
Okay, so you're not, it's not the Malaysian consumer market, but the US market that exporting to.
US, Europe market itself.
So some of your competitors, they have been moving into other products beyond the white goods that's used at home. They're going into making printed circuit boards for cars, for telco products, for smart meter systems. Is that an area you're going to eventually also consider moving into?
Yeah, we are actually doing that. Currently, we are also doing that. We are actually in into auto. We are also in into a power supply, you know, and we are also into home appliances. So that sector itself, we are actually right now into. The thing is that I think maybe we should actually be looking at the product complexity itself, which we are going in right now. Because especially when you come to product today itself, if you look at the products today, I think it's getting more and more complex. So there are more features and function itself in the product. So if you look at the PCB, which is actually a backbone itself for a board itself, where all the chips are actually mounted into it, so there will be more circuitry itself in the board. So the circuit may be more, the holes itself for the chip mounting itself may be more. So the board itself gets more and more complex to contain more and more features, more and more functions itself that I think consumers are actually looking at. So we are right now actually into it, where we are actually doing not only single double layer, we are also doing multi-layer to the extent of 6 layers board itself.
And last year, you also invested in a new plant, which also brings me to some of the points that you've made earlier in previous interviews, where you are looking at the PCB business, and it used to account for 90% of your revenue, and you had said you wanted to bring it down to 75%, so it's about there now, 70% of your revenue. So it seems like there's a bit of a contradiction here. At the same time, you're trying to bring down the contribution of the PCB revenue as a contribution to your total group. But at the same time, you are still investing a lot in the PCB business. Can you give us, I suppose, a clear direction where you really want to go with GUH as a whole?
Yeah, if you look at the last 3 years itself, we have actually put in about close to about 40 million of capex investment itself in PCB. PCB is an industry itself. I think since we are already in, and we, like what you correctly mentioned, we have almost 90% reliance on this particular industry. So somehow or other, unless you really opt out and not venture into this industry anymore. But to maintain this industry itself, you have to actually catch up with technology. So you have to make some investments. So that's the reason itself we are making investments itself, though we say that we are going to only depend maybe about 70-75% of this particular, for this particular industry itself in terms of the total revenue itself. So going ahead, I think we're still looking at PCB definitely, because you know, because that is actually our core business. But having said that, you know, we are also looking at some other division itself that we have currently. We have other divisions. We have property. We have a little bit of electrical, which we are actually divesting. And then, of course, we have plantation, which is a very small concern. And then we have IPP, a small IPP itself in Cambodia. And then we have venture into a little bit of water and wastewater treatment plant.
You talked about, you know, that this industry just requires constant investment, reinvestment, right? The capex that is really needed. How would you compare GUH then with, say, the lower cost players in China that's producing some of the very standard kind of PCBs, printed circuit boards, versus, say, a Taiwanese player? Where would GUH stand?
If you look at the Taiwanese player itself, some of the Taiwanese players also, they have it ranges very, very high in the sense that the gap is actually very big. You know, it can be very low or it can be very high. You know, some of the big conglomerates itself coming from Taiwan, they do have multi-layers board itself that do up to 24 layers.
Doing too, right? The multi-layers.
We are doing up to 6 layers, but some of them they do up to 24 layers, 12 layers.
Do you want to go all the way there, 24 layers?
A lot depends on demand. At this current juncture itself, the higher layer you actually move up, then of course the demand get lesser and lesser. Of course, the pricing itself will be much better. So we are actually evaluating on that itself. But I think we are currently staying put at 6 layers, which where the markets are.
This morning, we're speaking with Datuk Kenneth Heng, the Managing Director of GUH Holdings. After this, we'll talk about his growth plans going forward.
B-side for me, BFM 89.9.
Datuk Kenneth Heng, the Managing Director of GUH Holdings, is on the show this morning. Now, GUH Holdings is in electricals, property developments, plantations and water treatment plants, like some of the businesses that you mentioned earlier. What are the synergies between these businesses? They are so disparate.
If you look at those different industries itself, of course, there are some have a little bit of synergy. I think most of it, of course, there has not much of a synergy. I think the school of thought that we are actually having is that we prefer to actually do diversification rather than focus on one core business. Although having said that, I think at this current juncture itself, we're still very dependent on PCB, which is 90 over, but we have actually reduced it to about 70 plus 80%. That over reliance in particular this industry itself, I think has its good and has its bad. I think if you look at this current economic situation, the PVCB are actually not doing very well. But in terms of profitability itself, if you look at the results carefully, last year 2012 we managed to achieve 47 million. That's actually an increase about close to about 7-8% compared to 2011. And that itself is actually helped by other industries. The plantation itself helps a little bit. And then, of course, we have the property arm, which helps quite a bit. And then, of course, we have the power generation, which is generating quite stable income. So that also helps. So if you look at the scenario itself, though the divisions are all totally different, and some has a little bit of synergy, some doesn't. Like electrical has a little bit of synergy because we do sell some electrical products to our property, but it helps to pull the profit, at the end of the day. That's what I think is important for the shareholders.
Yeah, so what you're also trying to achieve is a more stable income by going to like water treatment systems, water treatment plants, because those have longer term contracts, for example, and the property development business. But I'm just thinking about your time, for example, like your management time, because your water treatment system, water treatment plant is in China, then your property development projects in Seremban, and your PCB plant is in Penang and another one in China. You're going to be like all over the place. Yes, it brings in the profits, but your time is going to be quite stretched.
If you look at the structure itself in terms of our organization, we do have a very decentralized structure where we do have a head in every division, whether be the property division or PCB division or electrical division or plantation. We have an individual head. So the individual head itself, we are actually managing the division. We are very kind of a profit orientated in the sense that they are in terms of their performance itself, they are marked on that, you see. So they also do want to perform, So for me itself, at the end of the day, if I get the organization itself right, then I'm just overseeing some of the divisional head itself. And, sometimes it may be through reporting if the operation itself, which is very far, like for instance in China, I don't go to China, every month or even twice, once in every 2 months or something like that, but I will try to go as often as possible. But we do have capable people itself on hand to actually help running the operation, who are actually very well versed in their own industries.
So for minority shareholders, minority investors, if they are thinking of looking at GUH, looking at investing in GUH, for a minority investor, they may think, GUH is a conglomerate, but I could also do it myself, where I could, say, invest in Celcon for water treatment business. I could invest in Hub Sing for plantation. I could do it myself and invest in more stocks rather than just invest in GUH. What would be your comment to that?
I principally agree with you. I don't disagree with you on that. But you know, like what I mentioned earlier, I think there's basically two schools of thought. One school itself is that you should actually focus in what you actually do best. You know, but if you were to focus on that itself, if that particular business itself will go down, then you go down completely. You know, but we believe in more in terms of trying to put everything, you know, things itself in different baskets itself, where we don't put everything in one basket. You know, so at least we spread out the risk. You know, we spread out the risk itself. So that's why we have many divisions. But of course, you're right. At the end of the day, I guess, you know, it depends on investors' point of view. And we have actually talked to a lot of analysts. I think analysts' point of view is always that investing in companies itself, that they feel that they are more focused. But for us itself, at the end of the day, I believe that the result itself speak for itself, you know, and we are actually looking at the shareholders' point of view. And if you look at the results that we are generating out for GUH for the past years, I think it's basically speak for itself. And I think shareholders are very happy with what we are actually getting.
And this thinking that where you need to diversify, don't put all your eggs in one basket, does this thinking come about? Because we notice this is quite common in sort of family-owned enterprises, although GUH is public listed. It's because generally it's hard to do business in Malaysia. It's hard to get projects. It's hard to get opportunities. And you're going to be hard-pressed in Malaysia and outside Malaysia, obviously, because it's not our home ground. Is that the sentiment that you have?
If you look at our initial involvement itself, how GUH come into being, initially our business was more on electrical and electronic. That was actually our main focus. Then, of course, I think through the reverse takeover of Grand United Holdings, which was previously known, we have property, Arm itself that was actually kind of a legacy, you know, coming from the previous companies. So that's why from there itself we start branching into different businesses, and that's the reason itself we thought that, you know, some of the businesses are good businesses, so we try to expand on it. Some good businesses which are not so good, like electrical, we try to divest on it, you know. So we try to pick and choose, and from there we start trying to grow.
And just looking at the long term, say 5 to 10 years time, some of your rivals in PCB, printed circuit boards, they have opted to sell their plants and focus on design consultancy. Basically, what they did, they lighten up their balance sheet and focus on providing a service. Is that maybe eventually that's the path you would take? Then your earnings won't be so cyclical.
At this juncture itself, we are still very dependent on PCB business. But if you look at the short term, medium term, I would not envisage that we will actually take that path. But if it's a very long term, then I think,
because it's too drastic.
Yeah,
because you have to lay off workers.
Definitely, it's too drastic because from a industry itself that we depend so much, which is almost at one point of time it was almost 95%, so now going down to about 80%. We will actually try to cut it down on a gradual basis, you know, even we have to actually take it, whether it's seasonal or not seasonal, cyclical kind of results itself that we are obtaining. But hopefully, those cyclical results that we are actually looking at, you know, some of the businesses itself that we are venturing into will help in trying to cushion off some of the cyclical effect.
How do your employees feel? I mean, if, you know, the employees in the PCB division, where if they knew they used to contribute 90% of your revenue and now it's down maybe to 75%, how do they feel? Do they feel, how do you explain to them that, oh, your contribution is less now?
But if you look at the scenario itself, like what I mentioned earlier, we have actually investing onto that particular venture. So it's not something itself that we are opting out. So the feeling is still still there whereby we will actually look into it, and we are still it's something itself that we still focus on. It's not something itself that we actually opt out and say, hey, you know, we are taking it out, and you at the end day you find that you won't get a job or something like that. So at this juncture itself, I don't think they feel anything, and on the management level also, we are not looking at trying to opt out in this particular business.
And what about pay scales? Because property developments and, say, in PCB, I can imagine the pay scales may be quite different.
Of course, sometimes different industries have different pay scale, but we have to evaluate it on a separate basis. Because
so
sometimes
based on the industry?
Yeah, based on
the
industries, based on the location, But as far as possible, whatever benefit is, we try to standardize it as much as possible so that it's synchronized among the groups itself.
So the company's market capitalization is under 200 million, ringgit, which makes it a small cap and not covered by many research houses. And there's no news if Bursa will continue to fund the CBRS scheme, which is the research for small caps. How satisfied are you with this current position? I guess for investors who are thinking of GUH, they want to know how ambitious you are in growing the company.
If you look at the previous situation, our paid up capital used to be about 250 million. We did some share buyback. We brought it down to 225, and then after that, we brought it down to 200. Now we brought it down to about 185 million. That is actually the current paid up capital.
Why are you so active in the share buybacks?
If you look at the current market itself, especially in Malaysia, whether we are at 250 level or 185 level, actually there's not much of a difference. So if the interest is actually not there in terms of market buying the shares, then of course we feel that if the share price itself in the market is cheap, then I think it's a good kind of a decision itself that we have actually made to buy our share backs for the benefit of the shareholders. All the while, whatever that we are actually doing, we are looking at the benefit of shareholders, you know. If you look at Bursa itself, Bursa currently, I think, have about maybe, 1,005 counters, which are listed in the whole stock exchange. And if you look at 1,000 over counters, I believe that if those fund managers itself, if they want to actually look at companies, you'll be a handful. I don't know, you're 50, 100, 200, so the balance itself, you still have about 1,000 over which are actually left unattended. So it so happened that we are one of them which are unattended, and I think there are many in the market itself which are also unattended by fund managers, not like last time back in the mid-80s.
So you're okay to stay like unattended, below the radar? So long you don't have analysts keep bugging you?
We used to have quite a lot of analysts bugging us, during my previous companies. I used to do a lot of road shows also, in US, in UK and all those, that back in the mid-80s. But nowadays, I think even some of the counters itself, you see that because the number of analysts which are right now in the market, in Malaysian market itself, is basically lesser. And for them to actually cover 1,000 over companies, I think it's close to impossible. So what they need to do is they just pick and choose.
Will you take the company off the stock exchange?
There's always a possibility, but of course, it has to be looked at because the company actually doesn't belong to me. I'm just one of the professionals itself trying to...
But your family members are the other board of directors and they are major shareholders.
Yeah, they are. But I also cannot decide for them, right?
In the last 3 years, GUH's dividends has been about 5 to 6 cents. Do you plan to maintain this dividend range?
I think our policy is to maintain a yield itself, which is much better than FD yield. We have been maintaining about close to about 4% yield itself, which of course translate to about, in terms of per share basis, we have been paying about six cents. But in terms of yield itself, it has been hovering about 3.5 to about 4%.
And why wouldn't you pay more, given that quite a number of your family members are shareholders? I mean, this must be a big source of their income.
Yes, but the thing is that we have also needs to prepare the fund itself for new ventures that we are actually looking at. There are a couple of new ventures that we are trying to look into, and if you know, of course, at the end of the day, if you pay more, then you may have to do a right issue to call back the capital and all those. That is not really our intention.
The elections is round the corner. If there's a change in who runs Penang, or you know, Penang State, or who runs Putrajaya, does it affect your business? Does it affect you in any way?
Short term, a lot depends on the policy of the government.
So, which policies do you like better?
Which policy? It's actually very difficult to say. I think at the, if you look at the present government Barisan, I think you know, we are doing quite all right. You know, and we, to be very frank, we don't depend so much in terms of government contract. You see, the industry that we are involved in, what we actually rely on is stability of the country, and as long as it's stable, and government policy itself doesn't change or it gets much better, I think that's all what we're actually looking at, you know.
Thanks so much for your time. Datuk Kenneth Hung, Managing Director of GUH Holdings. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, the business station.